This is a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 1. Jan, would you tell us about our bill and when we had our last hearing on this, Major?
Chair Starr, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1. We heard, I believe it was back in January, I don't see the date offhand, but at that point we did have a public hearing on it. And this is the bill that would designate the governor as the superintendent of public instruction upon the expiration of the present superintendent's term of office. And it would allow the governor to appoint, subject to Senate confirmation, a deputy superintendent of public instruction following consultation with the State Board of Education. There was some question about the legality of this, and we do have an AG opinion that was handed out in January saying that the Legislative Assembly may constitutionally repeal laws providing for the election of the superintendent and pass laws designating the governor serving that capacity. I think back in January, the governor's office sent a letter to the members suggesting an amendment that wouldn't have extended when this took effect through the end of the second term of the present superintendent. But I don't believe those amendments were ever drafted. They're not before us today.
I'm going to open a public hearing on Bill 1 and take some limited testimony. We have Marcia Kelly and Vern Duncan signed up. Could you come forward, please? Senator.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I did have a chance to come before you in January, and I appreciate this chance to come before you once again. I had thought I wouldn't have to do this on this bill, but all of a sudden a surprise. And by the way, I have talked to my president, who I have great respect for, and it's always difficult when you go against the bill that your president has. But nevertheless, this is, I really think, a very, very important issue. And I'd just like to remind people a little bit about the history. Our Constitution in Oregon says that it starts out by saying with the governor shall be the superintendent of public instruction for a period of 5 years, after which it shall be incumbent upon the legislative body to call for the election of a superintendent. And it was done, if you go back to Carey's history of the Constitution, at that time they were trying to make the position of governor a bit attractive from a standpoint of salary. So there's talk in the Constitution about making the governor Secretary of State and governor, and then they talked about making him the treasurer and governor, and then they finally settled on state superintendent. And it was just for a period of 5 years to save some money and frankly find a way to make the governor's salary a bit attractive, because they didn't have enough money at that particular time. And that was 1859. In 1871, they did call for the election of the first state superintendent of public instruction. So it's very clear that the people of Oregon are to elect the state superintendent of public instruction. As far as I'm concerned, this is, every respect, a route to circumvent the electors of the state of Oregon. We keep talking in this body. I hear it all the time. You know, the gun rights people talk about the Second Amendment. Everybody's talking about the amendments, the Constitution. My goodness, it's very clear in our Constitution that there shall be an elected state superintendent. Now, by the way, I'm not here today to argue whether the superintendent should be appointed or elected. I can argue both sides of that issue, and I'd be comfortable either way it goes. But this, frankly, is a sneaky way around. It is, because you know good and well right now, if you put it on the ballot, you probably would lose. So you're going back to something that was done in 1859 for a period of 5 years, just to find some money to pay the governor. And by the way, this has come up before. I had this used against me when I was superintendent, too. And it's just a way to get around the law. I think you ought to be face it up, if this is what you want to do, and I wouldn't argue that, I wouldn't be here arguing that one, if you want to make the state superintendent appointed, then be honest with the people of the state. Because this is not being honest with the people. This is sneaking around them. And I really would ask the members of the committee to think twice before you do that, because that's not the intent of our Constitution. Now, we can change the Constitution, but it takes a vote of the people, not just a sneaky way around it. And then I would point out, and my argument, again, isn't with appointed or elected, because with my doctoral students, that was a favorite question of mine to ask about the structure of a state educational operation. And you can go any which way, and every state has. But I can tell you, I know all 50 states very well. We would be almost a mockery within the structure. The chief state school officer works with all of the chief state school officers in the country. There are many things they do, working on the federal issues and so forth. Our person would be an assistant to someone, because the governor is not going to attend those meetings and not going to be the superintendent. This is a flaky way of doing it, folks. And I know you have some direction, I'm sure, and I understand that, and you may hear this again once it gets to the floor, but I can tell you, I want the people of Oregon, and I'll make it a point to let the people of Oregon know, we are trying to sneak something by them, and that's not the way we should do things with the Oregon legislature. Mr. Chair, I would hope that the committee would do its best. And I understand your role. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Hartung.
Senator Duncan.
I didn't hear you.
But pay attention, because you'll forget what I say real quick. May this be, or shall this be, a sneaky act if we pass this bill?
It shall be a sneaky act.
And is it, if it's sneaky, is that the equivalent of stealing the kicker?
Oh, there. I don't want to get into that one, because that's another speech. If
you were a specialist in stealing the kicker, man. That's all.
I think that's enough, Mr. Chair, for him.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perioli.
I resemble the remarks of the Senator Duncan about I think we're conducting the public's business in public, and this bill is being debated. I may find his arguments compelling, but I think many who have been asked to consider this bill will note for the record that we are not meeting under the cover of darkness. There are members of the press present. We're debating the bill publicly. It was announced from the president's podium. I think maybe his comments are in regard to the clear deviation from the framers of the Constitution's intent for this office to be an elective office.
I guess I would
categorize this as being flaky but not sneaky.
Mr. Chair, and in no way would I ever say you had dashed into the tunnel to make some sneaky decisions, but
there's that word again, Mr. Chairman. Sneaky.
But it is a flaky way around, so that the great men and women of this state don't get to vote on a change to the Constitution.
Mr. Chair?
I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Mr. Gordon.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much to Senator Duncan for coming back and sharing his experience and wisdom, and I underline wisdom. I went back to take a look at my notes from our previous hearing on the subject, and I have a couple of pages with pro and con arguments listed. And under the pro column, there's a question that remains, and that question I don't believe has been adequately answered by the proponents. And that question is, how exactly would this work? And so with that said, because I'm not going to ask Senator Duncan to describe how it might work, it's not his proposal, I want to focus on a concern I have about this is such an important issue. It just seems to me that it is important for the issue to go, rather than our making the decision here, that it would be an issue that should be presented to all of the electorate to decide. That's one concern. The other argument I heard from Senator Duncan in a previous hearing is that in a campaign for election, the person running or the persons running have to go out to every Oregon community. They have to put their positions and ideas and visions before the people. And that is an element that would be lost, or at least not be as prominent if we were to adopt this other way of selecting a superintendent. So with those concerns stated, I'm prepared to vote against the measure in front of us this afternoon. And again, I'm just really pleased that we have a former superintendent of the esteem that Senator Duncan brings, and with the wisdom that he also brings, draw on. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, if it hadn't been for those indictments pending in Idaho, we might never have had the benefit.
Well, that's good.
That's a state line.
Run out of Idaho.
Mr. Enough said. Thank you, Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some concerns because I'm quite certain when you say that, talk about the will of the people, I don't think the will of the people is to let someone who's going to use a cell phone for private use and an automobile for private use and some things like that. So sometimes those things are a little easier to deal with in an administrative capacity than in an elected capacity. And would not this also provide maybe some better ways of dealing with some problems that come up occasionally?
Well, Mr. Chair, in response to that, I would be very, very careful because there are audits underway, and I think the department has asked for an audit, and in no way would I want to indict anyone at this particular point. I don't think that's. I think an elected official probably is scrutinized even more so than anyone else. So I don't think that would be an issue here, and I think it would be very unfair to even touch that area because I don't think anyone really has any charges at this point with anyone.
Mr. Chair, I guess. I'm not talking about charges. I guess I'm talking about admitted conduct.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's not my role to be defending one for a person.
No, I understand
point,
that,
but I do think, let's face it, when you're an elected official, you're very vulnerable to those things. And who knows? I have a little bit of empathy from the standpoint. You're always monitoring the use of your car, and you're monitoring the use of that telephone, and you watch it carefully, and you reimburse and so forth. I don't know what the timing is. And as I recall, I think the superintendent is the one who instigated and asked for the investigation, asked for the internal kinds of things himself. So I really would prefer to stay away from that. But I think all of us in state government, whether you're elected or appointed, you're careful. But I suppose those of us who are elected, probably even people loved to get to us. We're always vulnerable.
And Mr. Chair, I'm not making indictments. I'm just saying that would not this be an easier way of dealing with something that did happen through administrative processes and through the electric process? That's
well, Mr. Chair, I guess if we were to use that, we could use the same argument. We could probably have better control of the governor. if the governor's listening, by the way, you understand I'm not informing you, but whoever's in that position, I think any one of us. No, I just think that I think we're all very, very vulnerable. You know, we always hear there's no accountability in government, and I would really challenge that statement. Probably there's probably as much accountability as any place I've. So you may have heard about the book I plan to write, and no, none of you will be in it. But the book I plan to write someday, I have the title done. I just don't have the insights put together. But the book will be entitled "The Monitors Who Monitor the Monitors Who Monitor the Monitors." Da 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 da. And there is a lot of accountability on all sides of the island here, I think.
Mr.
Chair. I just know enough, having done a lot of my work with my MBA in private industry, and I can certainly tell you the skirts aren't clean there either.
Mr. Chair, having twice been failing in my request to pry an answer from the witness, I would give up.
Mr. Chair, he and I will go have gooseberry pie and we'll work it out.
Thank you.
Marcia Kelly, I'm the legislative coordinator for the American Association of University Women. Our association has 31 branches across the state of Oregon and represents over 2,000 women, many of whom are either retired or current educators. I don't know an exact breakdown of that because it has been changing over the years. The American Association of University Women took a position on this early in the session to oppose it. We did not see any reason to come forward with testimony at the first hearing. It was sort of a hearing and ended, and now it has appeared on about a two-hour notice as far as I was concerned, and could not get our actual public policy co-chairs here to testify. We are against this because we feel that the superintendent of public instruction is an important enough position to be elected statewide. I see that some of the concerns are what happens if your superintendent does not have the same education goals as the governor. I think that we would appreciate differences of opinion and think that healthy debate is very good for the education system of our state. The continuity of having someone in a position for at least 4 years is somewhat healthy. If the deputy superintendent is appointed by the governor, they can be pulled out at the will of the governor, and that is not necessarily healthy for continuity in education. I question the no revenue impact. Currently, the statewide office holder is being paid $67,000. If you look at the salaries, the superintendents of public instruction in our school districts are making in the larger districts, it's a six-figure amount and not a five-figure amount. So I don't understand whether you're going to really save some money or if you have no revenue impact with this bill. And the final item that I would like to reiterate Senator Gordley's remarks is the accountability of the voters and the discussion of education on a statewide level when you have to go out and get elected to this position, I think, is healthy for all of the state of Oregon. And I don't see that happening if it's one piece of the governor's cap. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Questions of the witness.
No.
Thank you very much. We had a sign-up sheet out, and we didn't get the two witnesses signed up. Are there others that are burning in desire to testify? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing and open the work session on Senate Bill 1.
Mr. Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 1 to the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Fisher has moved Senate Bill 1 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion of the motion. We're going to pause a few moments here. Senator Deckert said he was going to be right back down, and we will give him that opportunity to show up so people be at ease a moment. We'll wait a moment to see if he's on his way. Senator Durfer, you care to...
I'd like to say a couple things.
Please.
Sure. Well, Gene Durfer is from Salem, representing Salem area. And a comment that I would have, I've listened to some of the testimony from upstairs, and I have to tell you that I, from my viewpoint, we don't always elect good managers. And I know that it sounds like it's important to have somebody go around the state and committing themselves to what they're going to do. And I don't know that politicians always do what they say they're going to do after they go around listening anyway. But I think that when you look at the governor who's responsible for the education system, and half of his budget's taken up with someone that's elected that he has no control over. And I've talked to the governor just in the last couple of days about this issue and why we brought it up again. He's trying like mad to get information out of the education department. He can't get it. And it's, frankly, when you're an elected official, you don't have to give it to them because you're only responsible to the people that elect you. I think when you realize that half of your budget is taken up with education, I think if you're responsible for that, I think that you ought to have the right to appoint the person who's going to be spending that money and making sure the system works. So that's kind of the reason why the bill was brought forward. It has nothing to do against the present administrator. I just think that an appointed position, it would be a lot more responsible, and you could appoint people who I think are good managers that will make the system work better. And after all, that's really what we're in the business for, is to educate our kids. And I think that's the thing we have to start looking at, what's really best for the kids in this issue. And I feel very strongly that that making that appointment, perhaps you'd get someone that had a better interest in that one rather than one that was done from a political basis.
Questions?
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Durfer. Any further word before we call for the vote? Would you?
Senator Becker?
No.
Senator Farinelli?
No.
Senator Fisher?
Aye.
Senator Thornton?
No.
Senator Harkon?
Aye.
Senator Castillo?
Aye.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Senate Bill 1 is passed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, vote explanation.
Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the fact is that there are precious few elective offices in the state of Oregon. The governor, the secretary of state, the state treasurer, the superintendent of public instruction, the labor commission, are all elected public offices that are served statewide. I believe that the citizens of Oregon want an elective officer in the role of the superintendent of public instruction. And until there is a change of orders from the people by way of an initiative that modifies the Constitution, I and others are sworn to uphold the Constitution, and those marching orders have not been changed. So I'm pleased that the committee thoroughly considered the implications of the bill. The bill will be debated on the floor, and I will be voting no on the floor as well. Thank you.
Senator Hartung.
Yeah. I voted for this bill because I want it on the floor of the Senate for discussion. I want to make sure everyone understands my vote to send it forward in no way indicates that I am displeased with the present superintendent, and in fact I would want to put the, if it does proceed from the floor over the House, to amend it to allow the president superintendent to run for re-election again. However, I've not been able to do my job as chair of the education sub the way I wanted to do it, because we could not. We are not getting the information we need, particularly as it refers to federal funds. And we, if President Bush does what he says he's going to do, we are going to be getting more federal funds, and it's very difficult, apparently, for the Department of Education to figure out if there's categorical grants, if it's fungible, and anyway, we haven't had that information. And I think, and this is not necessarily an indictment against the present superintendent, except we need a manager who understands finances and can manage the funds, and that's the main reason that I think this ought to be brought before the 90 of us in this assembly, is to understand that being superintendent of education is much different today than it was as recently as 8 or 10 years ago, because of the role, well, two things. We are funding our school districts with state revenue, and we are getting large, we will be getting large amounts of federal funding, and so I'm concerned that the way we are presently organized, we're not going to be able to have timely figures in order to do the best possible job running education programs for the kids in the state.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
I think there's a real debatable issue here as to which leaders should be elected and which shouldn't. I guess probably in a perfect world, I'd like to elect positions perhaps such as the head of the human resources or even the state police, especially the state police. And yet we've not done that, feeling that we wanted someone to manage rather than be involved in the political arena. And I have real concerns that quite often we're more concerned in situations where the other government officials that are elected more of their political prowess than we are with some of the other capabilities that they have, and a lot of times those things don't get mentioned, they don't really get brought out, and I would have to agree with my colleagues here that have indicated they've had some trouble getting information and things like that, which holds back our process. And I think that in those particular instances where that's apparent, not just the first time, and not just with this particular superintendent, but in past times. So as much as I'm reluctant to necessarily do something that people don't want, as it's been indicated, I don't know that this is something that the people don't want, because the only letter, frankly, that I've got on this thing, period, it comes from a person that would like to see this in an appointed position. So I don't really have a problem putting this out for debate.
Thank you. Any further comments? Not. We're going to close the Committee on Education, and Senator Durfer will carry the bill.